May it please the Lord to bless us together tonight as we consider his word. Let's turn to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9 and we'll read verse 2. The ninth chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah and reading verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. It is, I'm sure, difficult for us to comprehend what it must have been like in the days of Isaiah and the ensuing days before the Lord Jesus was born, to be able to read such a chapter as this, which so wonderfully and gloriously prophesies with regards to the birth and indeed the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the people must have hung on to some of the verses which are contained in this chapter, because really there was that veil over their faces and they saw things very darkly. And yet today we are gloriously blessed with the New Testament and the historical account of those things which came to pass with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet as we read such an account as this, we can trace out the wonderful spiritual blessing that it refers to, so that although in one sense the prophecy has been fulfilled, in another sense it is there the words to encourage us today. Now, it was of course a dark day in Isaiah's life and in his prophecy. They were dark days in Israel for the most part, and yet Isaiah was commanded to speak and to record those things which we've read, and we can just see a little of the state and condition which existed, how dark it was. And we read, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And how true that was. There was much darkness, there was no light in them. "And they shall pass through it hardly, be stared and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." Now that was true in the case of Israel, but it is still true today with regards to spiritual Israel, because until the great and glorious light shines, and that light is in the face of Jesus Christ, until that light shines, we are indeed in darkness, and we behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and perhaps are driven to darkness, perhaps almost driven to despair. It is a situation that the Lord brings into the life of his people to cause them sometimes to almost despair. They will not despair, but they may almost despair, because they may have sought the Lord, they may have desired to seek the Lord, and it may have seemed darkness. There didn't seem to be any light, and therefore they're tempted to give up. They're tempted not to continue. Well, we read encouraging words in this chapter. Nevertheless, what a blessing to have a word like that. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. There was a period in Israel's history when the 10 tribes were virtually taken away from their place by the Assyrians. And that's really what Isaiah is referring to here. You can read about it if you want to in the book of Kings. We won't refer to it now. Second book of Kings in chapter 15 gives the actual account of this situation. But I'd just like to just refer to the words that we read in Matthew, which confirms these words. And those are found in the 4th chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. And we read, now, verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. You see, he's referring to that here. And he says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Almost word for word. And then he goes on, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So we have the picture here referring very clearly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore it is very clear that this here in Isaiah 9 is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is very significant that immediately after that we read, from that time Jesus began to preach. From that time, as it were, the light shone. The Saviour preached the word, and that word entered in to the hearts of many. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the Lord commenced his ministry really with those words recorded here in the Gospel of Matthew. And it was indeed the light that was to shine through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this statement here. The people that walked in darkness, that's what they were like. The Israelites were like, they were walking in darkness, and they'd seen a great light. And exactly the same it is with the Church of God today. They walk in darkness until the light shines. We've all walked in darkness. We may be in darkness now, because we are either in darkness or in a light. And if we are in the darkness, we will need the light to shine, because we cannot produce light ourselves. We cannot make that light to shine ourselves. We are dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. And it may be, perhaps, our earnest cry, our earnest desire, that the light may truly shine into our hearts, so that it may be true of us, the people that walked in darkness. They weren't sitting still, they were walking, but they were in darkness until the light shone. They walked in darkness and they have seen a great light. And the light is none less than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a beautiful description in this chapter of the Lord Jesus Christ. How comprehensive it is. The prophet says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us. Does that include you? Does that include me? unto us. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, do we rejoice tonight in such a truth as that, which describes to us in some detail the greatness of the Saviour? These words truly describe the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, speaks of God, and the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Now, the people that walked in darkness, and we shall walk in darkness until the Lord shines and we see that great light. And what a difference it makes when that light shines. It makes a wonderful difference. It changes us. It changes our view of things. It changes our mind. It changes our life. I very seldom refer to any personal testimony, but I will just mention, I think I've told you before, years ago I was ill, and I can remember the place and the situation very clearly. And I was trying to pray, and it just seemed darkness. It seemed black. There seemed no access. My words seemed to, as it were, bounce back at me. Didn't seem to make any impression. And it was dark. And then it suddenly dropped into my mind for Jesus Christ's sake. And the light shone. And it was a great light. The darkness dispersed. And I immediately realized that we approached to the Holy God, the Holy Father, who cannot look upon sin, through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I saw, as it were, the whole panorama. And I saw how needful it was the Lord Jesus Christ should die. How needful it was that he should satisfy the demands of the holy law. And in doing so, he had to suffer and die upon that cross at Calvary and to shed his most precious blood. And without that death, there would be no access. My condition would have been hopeless. But there was the light. The light shone. And therefore, it is very precious to me, the great doctrine of the high priesthood of Christ. Because he it is that takes and presents our prayers to his Father. And we are accepted in him, accepted in the Beloved. And what a light it is. Now, if Jesus Christ is revealed to us like that, the darkness is dispersed. However black it may be, however impenetrable it may seem, no way. But if Jesus comes and reveals himself to us, the darkness flies away and we see a great light. Now, it's a wonderful blessing for us to see the light. We all have different experiences, we will have different testimonies. I'm not setting myself up as any standard. I'm just giving that as an illustration of the difference between darkness and light. And in essence, it was a great light. It wasn't a little light, because everything was changed. There was access to God. Access to God. And my friends, how we need access to God. I'm always disappointed when people end their prayers without saying, "For Jesus Christ's sake." It always seems to me so necessary and so essential, really, so that our prayers are accepted for His sake. Because the Father cannot reject them if we do pray and come in the name of the Saviour. Because He looks on His Son as that righteous one who has sacrificed His life to atone for our sin. So that whereas in and of ourselves we are sinners, to realise that our sin is washed away, taken away, cast into the depth of the sea, to be remembered no more forever. And we are then complete in Him. We are clothed with His spotless robe of righteousness, that pure white robe. There is no spot in it. No sin, because Christ has taken away all sin. And that word is gloriously true. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. To think that there is a now in our life. A now when the Lord has come and shone into our heart and revealed Christ to our souls. Well, can we tonight, in our varied ways, perhaps we think in our little way, don't despise a little, make the most of it, because it's a great thing. If the Lord has made Christ precious to you, oh my friends, it's a great light. It's a great light. There's no light without Christ. And we know that because He says, "I am the light of the world." There is no light without Christ. And you will never really enjoy peace and fellowship without some knowledge of Christ. And that knowledge must be directed to our salvation. It must be directed to that one sacrifice for sin, that the Saviour offered up His life as that perfect sacrifice. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, it's a blessing if we've walked in darkness and we've seen the great light. If we haven't seen the great light and we're in darkness, does that trouble us? Is it a concern to us? Do we cry out about it? Do we pray to God that that light might shine? Because when that light shines, we really have the wonderful evidence of the life of God in the soul. And that's so necessary. We don't want to just drag on through life, hoping it will be all right at the end. We want to know that the Lord Jesus has died for us. We need that assurance that these things are true. We want to know it personally. It won't do you any good to know the person next door has been blessed. You'll need to know that Christ is your Saviour. You'll need to know that Christ has died for you. that Christ has shed his precious blood to atone for your sins. And as you stand there in darkness, guilty, burdened with a load of sin, which gets heavier every day, you'll need this great light to come and to direct you to Calvary. Oh yes, that's the place of deliverance. That's the place of blessing. That's where the burden rolls away, as we see in Christ all that we need. He is our all sufficiency. Everything we need is in Christ. Let us not move away from the importance of this truth. Let us not think there's a way to heaven without knowing Christ. We won't get to glory and find Christ a stranger. In fact, you won't want to go to glory if Christ is a stranger. But if Christ has shone into your heart with light, and by his grace you've seen something of the preciousness and the needfulness of the Saviour, then by his grace and favour you'll be looking forward and anticipating the glory of that day when you will see that man, that God, who came and died so that you might live. Oh, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And so tonight I hope we're able to look into our hearts and find one of two things. Either that we've seen this great light, or that we're earnestly praying that we may have this great light. My friends, if you haven't received it, press on, pray on. It's something to be earnestly desired. And so the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. There is indeed that shadow, as it were, of death. Now, I know death is in two senses, really. There's that natural death and there's that spiritual death, when we are eternally dead, as it were. And that's what we live in until the light shines. The land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now, just moving on for a moment, the prophet goes on to say, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You see, there's a time of rejoicing, a time of blessing God. You know, when the light shines, you'll rejoice. You'll bless God. And it will be a time of harvest, a time of rejoicing. You won't be morbid. You'll be rejoicing. You'll be thanking God for the wonderful favours which he has granted unto you. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. You can remember, when the Midianites were destroyed by Gideon. You know what a wonderful deliverance that was. There was a great army. My friends, there may be a great army in our spiritual life. The battle may seem almost impossible. How am I ever going to overcome all of the evil that is within me, all my sin, all the badness that is within me. How am I to overcome? How will I overcome? Well, we may have been looking to our own strength. We may have been looking to our own ability. Gideon had to have his strength, as it were, in the form of an army, greatly reduced to such an extent that he would never be able to claim the victory for himself. The victory was clearly the Lord's. It was clearly the Lord's. And what a blessing it is when we are brought to that position where we realize the victory, which it is, this is a victory when the Lord comes and shines into our heart. It is a victory because we have conquered, not because of what we've done, but we conquered because of what the Lord has done. And that's how the Gideon's men, and they cried, you know, that word, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord. And it was the work of God. As you may know, they just they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and there was the flame inside and it lit up, and the host of the Midianites, they fled. They thought it was a great army. You see, God still conquers today. My friends, it's not our might. It's not our ability. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy. And it's God's favour. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And it's as though those evil things, they're burnt up. They're taken away with burning and fuel of fire. We're then able to come, as it were, to the feet of Jesus. And we see him then as this wonderful counsellor and the mighty God. We have a view that we never had before. Until we have in our hearts the evidence of God's light, we will never have a true view of the greatness of God and the compassion of God and the mercy of God. And it's then that our hearts are moved to realize that the victory is the Saviour's and its lightness. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, the love of Christ. Amazing, isn't it? You've been there standing in darkness, as it were, in the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, you've been there. But then, blessed with this light, as David said, we fear no evil. Yes, because the Lord is with us. What a blessing it is then to have a revelation, which it really is, from the blessed Spirit of God to direct us, to encourage us in this way and in this path. When Paul wrote his epistle to the Ephesians, he says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Wherefore, he saith, it may be we've been sleeping the sleep of death. When a blessing of the Lord comes and says then, "Arise, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, in darkness, and Christ shall give thee light." Well, the apostle knew so well, didn't he? There had been an adversary to the Lord. There had been an enemy doing those things which he thought were right, until that momentous occasion in his light, when the light shone. Now he tells us, he says, that light shone above the brightness of the midday sun. It was so bright in the life of the apostle. It shone right into his heart. And the effect was he fell down under the power of it. The light was so bright. Well, it may not be like that in our life, but it may be. It may be a wonderful light which shines so tremendously brightly that we have to bow down. And what that does then, we have to leave behind. Paul had to leave behind in a moment all his old self-righteousness. He had to dump it. And he came and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When the light shines, it makes us willing in the daily power, because it's power. It's the power of God which has shone into our heart. And how true it is, we are made willing. We're willing to do the Lord's will because we bow down. We have this glorious Saviour who's died for us, who's given his life for us. No longer are we our own, we're bought with a price. Our sins changed. We have a master to serve, and we desire to serve that one who has done such great things for us. And so, may we have heard such a word as that, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Shall give thee light. There's no doubt about that. The Lord does come, and he does give light. And so here we have this statement, they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The psalmist knew what it was. He knew the situation. And he tells us in the 107th Psalm, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Well, perhaps that describes our present situation. We're in darkness, we're in the shadow of death, and we're bound in affliction and iron. We seem unable to free ourselves from the situation that we're in. Our condition seems almost impossible. And you see, to some extent, it was like that with me. There seemed no way, no access, darkness, no good in praying really. And the psalmist explains it a little, and this is quite painful perhaps, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. What it means is we may have turned our back upon God. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labour. He brings us down to a low place. He humbles us. He weakens our strength in the way. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. And in that spiritual extremity, there is none that can help. You won't find help anywhere but in God. And then he says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Saviour in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. And he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. They were freed. And so it is. And when that light shines, it's a glorious freedom. And we're so surprised that we were in the darkness we were in when that light shines. And he says, and this is important, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass. And that's what it might seem like when you try and pray. Gates of brass, they don't seem open for you at all. But he cuts the bars of iron in sunder. He breaks them down. They're dispersed. And there is the entrance. And the entrance is through the blood of Christ. That's the way of entrance. That's the way of entrance. Through the blessed Redeemer. Oh, the light shines. What a glorious light it is then. And then it is you bow down and you praise the Lord. And you enter in and you say, yes, my Lord is wonderful. He's a glorious counsellor to me. He's counselled me and I've been brought to a right understanding. Yes, the gates of brass have been broken. Oh, bless God. And he is a wonderful Saviour. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And then just one final reference which I often refer to. It's 2:4-6, easy to remember, in Corinthians, the 2nd of Corinthians, and the 4th chapter, and the 6th verse. And we read, for God, who commanded. You see, there comes a time in our life when God commands the light to shine. God commands. Bless God. It is a command. And therefore it's carried out. And therefore the light does shine. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a full verse that is, isn't it? What a full verse it is. To glory in that. Think of this. Israel of old, viewing this verse, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. By faith, had to look forward to that which was to come. Today, by faith, we can look back to that which has occurred and to rejoice in these truths. You know, the apostle, he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, that's the preaching of the gospel. This is the gospel. There's no other gospel that would do us any good. And he says then, but we have this treasure, and it is a treasure. When that light shines, it's such value. It is eternal good. Anything that's eternal has an infinite value. And that's just what this has. An infinite value. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's our poor old earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, God will have all the glory. He won't allow us to have any glory. That's why it all emanates from him. That's why he commands it in his time and his way. He commands the light to shine. And when it shines and reveals Christ, what glorious is. And it moves our heart. It moves our very being. We're a different person. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's a hope in his mercy. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It's a great blessing, isn't it? To have these things revealed to our soul. Then we understand the wonder that such a word should be written in the Word of God in the Old Testament. and is spelled out then so clearly in the New. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell, that's where we live, in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Well, I wonder tonight if we can find in our hearts the wonderful evidence of God's command occurring in our life. His command to shine that light so that no longer are we in that pitch black. We're brought into this light. Remember, it's only in Christ, who is the light of the world. But when that light shines into our hearts, what joy it brings. Joy that we have and possess the knowledge of Christ, which is far greater than gold. My friends, may we strive for these blessings, because they are to be received, and they are of God's grace and mercy. It is because of his amazing love, and as they come into our hearts, we do stand amazed, and we do agree with Newton when he said, amazing grace, yes, what a great sound it is to save a wretch like me. And we would have been there. We would have confessed we're a wretch undone, a sinner not deserving any favour. But then to think the Lord comes under his command and shines into our heart, and we see that great light, which is an eternal light, which will never go out, to the praise and the glory of God. Amen.